Blog Talk Radio.
Up Chicago, that's right. It is Martin Luther King Day, Missional Monday, January 16th, 2017. And Taking Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. We have an outstanding show for you on today. Today's topic should be good. The key to effective outreach. The keys to effective outreach. In the studio, as always, it's your boy, your host, Ms. Danny L. King, alongside my brother in ministry, the one, the only, from the First Bethel Church, Pastor Cornelius Parks. How are you, sir?
What to do, bro?
Man, I'm great. How are you?
Man, I'm good, man.
You good?
You good?
Man, look, we got a good show, man. This is going to be good. Let me give y'all a rundown on this Martin Luther King Day edition of what's going to happen today. Look, if you want to be a part of the show, you simply, if you're already on the line, you've already dialed in, we appreciate you. Just push one and you can be a part of the show. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We'd love to hear from you that way. If you're on social media, so we simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We'd love to hear from you there. If you want to tweet the show, you can tweet us at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We'd love to read that tweet live over the air. If you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, that's takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We'd love to hear from you there. The live streams are up and running. Ustream. You can find us on Ustream, ustream.tv. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off Radio, you will find us there. Facebook Live, I believe the stream. Yeah, Facebook Live, everything is up and running. Facebook Live, we're right here. Go to Facebook Live, you will find us there. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio, you will find us there. We'd love to hear from you on today. And last but not least, our podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast. Simply go to your iTunes account, do a search for Taking Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us right there. Would love to hear from you. Man, it's good. What's going on, my brother?
Man, you got this thing, man. How you feeling?
I'm good, man.
I never thought I'd say this. It's hot in here.
I know, I can't
take off my clothes.
Man, I'm about to crack that window.
Man, I want all this weakness to be shown out here, man.
I appreciate you not taking nothing off. Really, we blessed that you're not taking nothing off.
Listen here. I'm being selfish and stingy with my sweetness.
It's better for the kingdom.
No, it's not, man.
It's better for the kingdom
not,
that you keep it on.
My sweetness is going down, man. Listen. I was putting on my shirt, my sweater this morning, and normally this sweater right here is like a nice little fit. Man, listen here, I got room up in here. There's room. It's sweetness. Boy, there's room.
Oh, God.
I just wish my groin was all right, then I can really show some room.
It's probably good that it ain't.
Man, I got to go to rehab, so.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good.
Man, listen here. How was your weekend? Man, how was bowling, man? Oh, my God. Listen here. No, don't you.
Y'all didn't pray hard enough.
Oh, man, you had a good day, and then it just collapsed.
I actually bowled well. On Saturday, but we just couldn't. We couldn't pull it off as a team. We won. We lost the first game by 117 pins. We won the second game by 130 pins, but then we lost the third game. We couldn't hold on to it. So it was, man. And then I threw my back out in the middle of the second game.
I went to throw the ball
and my back was like, no, dude.
Oh no!
I said, what in the world, man? I tweaked my back. I said, man, but hold on.
Oh man!
On the ball, I tweaked my back. I threw a strike and then I threw five more after that.
Hey. Oh, well, you need to tweak your back ball.
No,
because
ball didn't have no speed because I couldn't put nothing
really?
Behind it. Yeah, I was done. So that third game, I had nothing. nothing. I ain't really had nothing. I was just trying to stay on the lane.
Wow.
I was just trying to stay on the lane because unfortunately, once you start,
yeah,
you can't stop.
You can't stop.
And they can't take your score, so you end up with a zero. Yeah.
For all three games.
No, I would end up with a zero for that third game.
Oh, no.
Had I, you know, so. No. Yeah, but it was all right, though, man.
Should've
it was
did
cool.
a Flintstone. Did a Fred, baby.
What about you, man? How was your weekend?
Man, my weekend was.
I'm going to crack this window because we about to die.
Yeah, weekend was pretty good, man. We gave Charisma a skating party Saturday, and that was always good. Service yesterday was marvelous, man. And then I went over to Pastor Harold Washington worship service, man, last night, which was good. And I was, you know, started late, but it was good. And I said this, you know, just to be in the atmosphere of that element was very, very well, man. This guy, man, Levi Stewart, man, Minister Levi Stewart, man, this guy's anointed, man. This guy came from a sincere, pure place of worship, and it was just fabulous, man. When I tell you it was fabulous, it was fabulous. So I was excited to be in the atmosphere, and then also just be able to come to the West Side and support my brother, another brother in ministry. So that's always good, man, that you're able to continue to migrate from town to town, because I tell you, South Side and West Side is totally different out there, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was good to be on this side of town. Because it started late, of course, got out late, and mm-hmm. so I couldn't even stay until it was over. But,
okay,
you know, other than that, it was good.
That's good. That's good. Now, how did the 1390 thing go on Friday?
Oh, man, a breeze. Man, listen, so I went down there and did the word of the day. So all you guys know, I'm on 1390 this week.
So they are airing it this week?
They're airing it this week.
Okay,
12
I should have turned it on this
6
morning.
O'clock.
Oh, okay. But they don't air it. They normally just air it, but that's
yeah.
the time they talk. Okay,
I
gotcha.
Think I let me say that I
yeah.
think.
Yeah.
And so, man, you know I took your advice too because I had my notes. And
it just hit.
It just went through it.
It does.
And she said, "Okay, that's it.
Right. Go home."
Said, right,
they
okay.
put you out real quick.
Yeah. Man, I mean parking and all that. So you know it was okay.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Good opportunity, man.
Yeah. And, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. They choose. Someone like I stay humble when it comes down to ministry. I may
yeah.
be arrogant in a lot of other areas,
mm-hmm.
but ministry-wise, I'm very humble.
Mm-hmm.
And just for them to reach out to me to be considered to do the word of the day
yeah.
for 1390, that was awesome, man.
Yeah, it is. It was fun. It's a fun time. Did you get to meet anybody, any other people there or no?
No, actually, I went in and, uh-huh. and they all looked at me like, okay, he must be a pastor or something.
Yeah, that's what they automatically
they
right.
And
yeah.
then they just took me downstairs. You know, I thought I was going to get a chance to do something crazy.
No.
But I did go in there, Marcella, way better and everything. But,
okay.
you know, it was over. It was over, so.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's good, man. That's good.
I mean, it was good. It was good.
No,
but they had other people
waiting.
You waited there, so it's like that's the time they took.
Yeah.
Because it had other people there. But other than that, it was good. My little piece was good. So.
That's good, man. That's good. That's
yeah.
good. I'm happy for you, man. I mean, it's fun to do. I was like I said, I when I did it, it was fun. I was also humbled by it. I'm like, oh wow, yeah, I'll come. And I did it. Me not even, you know, and I believe from what I you know, me not even being the pastor was
yeah.
asked to do it. So
yeah, yeah.
So
hey,
you know, I was
that's great.
I enjoyed it, but it was fun. It was
that's
fun,
great.
You know, so hey, it's you know, but I had no problem. I can't, you know, I like the environment. I love the studio. I'm like, oh, this is real nice.
It's real nice, yeah.
Like it's real nice, and you
yeah.
know, all your stuff right
yeah.
there. And I'm like, yeah, you ain't got to do all this. Somebody else doing it.
Yeah,
you know.
And then, you know, she's like, if you mess up, just keep going.
Right.
I can go.
She'll edit it. And she
I'm
sat
like, go
there.
Ahead,
yeah.
Girl. Go ahead.
So
girl.
Did she edit it while you were sitting there? Or no.
Man, listen, I don't know. She was doing some stuff, man.
Okay,
so,
yeah. Because
yeah.
The young lady, she's no longer there now. She edited mine right there on the spot. She blended some stuff together. She was like, okay, I'm going to take this pause out for you. I'm like, oh, cool. I was done.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, but it was cool. It was cool.
Yeah.
So you got this. I mean, it's good. It's good publicity for your church.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, everything I do, and even when you get to that seat, I encourage you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of guys do things in their own ministry and then the church, but I'm still in that newlywed stage.
Yeah.
I still have to promote the ministry as much as possible.
Absolutely.
And so Yeah, I did that. And, man, to be on services was good yesterday.
How were they? Yeah.
It was really good. Mm-hmm. Good fresh word. And I changed my floor of service, man.
Did you?
So I don't preach as longer. And yesterday, we start on time.
Okay.
Actually, I was proud of my deacon because he started calling them in at 10:55.
Ah, okay.
He didn't wait till 11.
Mm-hmm.
And so at 11 o'clock, mm-hmm. we hit it. And we was out of service at 12:20.
Wow.
And that's everything.
Okay.
Great worship. Mm-hmm. Great. I mean, we got time to spend with the Lord prayer. Mm-hmm. We did our fellowship hour. We did the choir did two songs, and I preached, did reminders, mm-hmm. offering, extended invitation, everything. So what I'm working on this year is get back to a flow.
Yeah.
A consistent flow that will help the church just move. I mean,
yeah,
cutting the fat.
When you have a consistent flow of things, and then if the Holy Ghost decides to move,
mm-hmm.
you don't feel like you're doing too much.
Exactly.
But when stuff is all over the place,
exactly,
and then now somebody wants to come and do something else,
mm-hmm.
then it's like, okay, wait a minute. Now it's like everything feels discombobulated.
Yeah, yeah.
But when there is a consistency to your program, when there is some consistency to your start time, so,
yeah,
you know, then there's room for things to you know.
You're absolutely right. And you know, I think it shocked the people too, because I had some members that came late and we was pretty much done.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're like, wow. And honestly, I was still sweating, still
mm-hmm.
preached
mm-hmm.
a nice word.
Mm-hmm.
The people were still receptive, and you seen the love. And it was just, man, if you don't get here, you're going to miss out.
Okay,
for real.
Okay.
If you don't get here, you're going to miss out. But other than that, it was good, man. Even last night, I got a chance, took my son out to dinner, man, and we shared some things. And so, you know, this weekend have been a fabulous weekend. It was one of them good weekends.
So it's the first week, and again, we want to thank everybody for watching and listening right now. Those of you on Facebook Live, let me see, Tiger Black from Austin, Texas, what's going on? Faith Hey Good, what's going on? Yolanda King, what's going on? Dana Miller, what's going on? We see y'all. God bless you. Thank y'all for watching
on this,
and then the rest of y'all in the room who I don't know who you are, because I see four people on the screen and 13,
man, y'all
people
need
in the room.
Holler at your people.
Holler at you. Those of you on Ustream, God bless you. First full week of the fast.
Yeah, man.
Today marks the first full week.
Yeah,
seven
man.
Days in.
I can't lie to you, man.
Come on.
I didn't struggle.
Okay.
I struggled with coffee.
Okay.
Other than that, I'm good.
Struggle meaning you really wanted some.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Gotcha. Okay.
Why
okay.
thou hast tempted me. Listen, so Saturday, man, listen, this is my test.
Uh-huh.
So we at the birthday party, right?
Okay.
And we ordered all this pizza and, man, this cake. Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord.
Tom and Jerry, man, cake. And so Charisma cut the cake.
Uh-huh.
And the devil was right at the table.
Oh, wow.
Soon as she cut it, that smell hit my nose. It just hit me. I started talking. They thought I was talking to myself, right?
Uh-huh.
I was telling the devil, use a lie.
Yeah.
And I held in. So on the pizza, I was so hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So I just slid the sauce and the cheese off and
mm-hmm.
ate that part. It was cheese pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was only one piece of that.
Uh-huh.
No bread.
We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But that's no bread, though.
You ate the crust, didn't you?
No.
Oh, you just ate the what? You just ate the cheese?
Just cheese.
Oh, with the sauce.
Just with the sauce.
Okay. All
yeah.
right. Then, no, okay.
Yeah.
I ain't finna say
no,
nothing then.
No,
right.
I scraped it off. No. I made sure. I scraped it off.
Okay.
I scraped
okay.
it off.
Okay.
I haven't, people of God, I haven't cheated yet.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing good with the sugar.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing good with meat.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing good with the sweets.
Uh-huh.
Listen, I've been gummy worm and fruit snacks have been calling my name.
Uh-huh.
But I've been saying to them, get thee behind me. It's rough. But, you know, I'm thankful. How about you, bro?
Man, you know, it hasn't been bad. I told you, my worst day was last Monday.
Yeah. Oh,
Monday night because I got the headache. The headache
oh, yeah.
kicked in with
yeah,
no sugar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
now, what time was that Monday night?
It was Monday evening going into Tuesday.
See, you should have been asleep.
What you mean I should have been asleep?
If it was Monday evening going into Tuesday, was it past 10 o'clock?
I don't sleep, first of all. So that's not going. Yeah, I'm not.
It's called muscle relaxers.
Yeah, but I took something. Trust me.
Oh.
I took them 1800 of the ibuprofen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, 1800. So I was good. You know, I had my little, I told you that the devil been busy.
Oh, yeah.
Folk in the building cooking bacon.
Oh, yeah. You
told
me.
Right. And then I had the Connie's Pizza delivery on Thursday. That wasn't for me. But then Saturday was the true test.
At the bowling alley.
The bowling alley.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, my God. I forgot about, you know, and I was good. I had I got these little snack cups from Sargento with the little cheese and almond and all that stuff in it. And I forgot to take it with me.
Ooh.
So I'm like, okay, I'm good. You know, I'm like, I'll be all right. Walked in the bowling alley and you could smell. So normally my squad, they have this thing called it's an appetizer platter. And it's about the size of this soundboard.
Wow.
Chicken wings. Cheese sticks, onion rings, mushrooms, French fries, mini tacos.
Oh my God!
All kind of stuff on it, right? So of course, now my team knew that I was fast, so they kept it cool.
Oh, that's good.
They kept it cool. They all had, you know, now, and I'll give it to Pat. I'm gonna tease Pat. Pat had snuck her Jimmy John sandwich in there,
but she
was eating it on the side. Okay. She's like, Dana, I ain't gonna put this over here by you. And then. But I'm good. But everybody walking past with these platters and pizza. And I mean, I smelled every piece of seasoning on every. It's like your senses have increased. And I was like, oh, my God.
Listen, it's something about chicken, man.
Yeah. And I mean, it was
something about chicken.
Yeah. And then so the bowling alley has become like the barbershop. People come in the bowling alley selling stuff. So there's this lady at the bowling alley that sell meat.
Oh, wow.
So here she come delivering people's bacon that they done ordered and stuff.
Oh,
like, you know,
oh my God.
A case.
Oh, my God.
She's selling bacon. She's selling neck bones.
Wow.
She got all this stuff. I said, you know what? The devil know he busy.
Wow.
Yeah. So I just, But it was cool. It's cool. But I can tell you this right now. I probably ain't going to want no more shrimp and no more salmon for a long time.
I ain't going to say that.
No. But I thought about it. I had to change my thought because I was like, I ain't going to want no shrimp. Then I thought about it. I said, but if it's wrapped in some bacon.
Man, hey, Pete's. How you been in Pete's Produce?
Yeah, I've been to Pete's before.
All right, they got these already made salmon Alfredo pasta stuff.
Okay,
is the Alfredo with salmon on top?
Is it hot or is it cool?
It's cool, but you just put it in nuke it.
Oh, and so it's supposed to be hot.
$5.99.
Oh, I thought you meant like pasta salad. Okay, but it's actually a hot meal.
Yeah.
Okay.
$5.99.
Really?
It'll bless your soul.
Really?
In the name of Jesus. It'll bless you. It'll bless you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I was too bad. It's just so much. Face, what did you talk about with these faces you making on this thing up here? It's just so much. So anyway, so it's working out. Hopefully you guys, so let me ask you this. As far as your reading is going, how's your reading and stuff?
My reading is great, man.
Okay.
You finished
book, another book? Book
number
two,
y'all.
Okay.
So here it is. My brother just threw it out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a book a week.
Okay.
And so this last week was the book, How to Help Your Pastor to Succeed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's great. And one of the lessons, I did it Facebook Live for Bible study since we didn't have it. I did it live, and it was talking about three type of people in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You have the multitude. You have the provisional disciples, and then you have the inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal and job as men of God and women is to move people from being the multitude to the inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened, the multitude is the majority of the people.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, that's everybody who's part of the church, but they're not doing nothing.
Right.
Then you have the provisional disciples. Those are the people that you really can't depend on.
Okay.
They're going to jump in whenever they feel like it.
Yeah.
It's not like it's mandated for them to jump in.
Okay.
Feel like once the bandwagon get rolling, those people jump on.
Absolutely.
They're not going to get their hands dirty.
I know them people very well.
Exactly. But then the inner circle is the people, they diehards. They ride and die. They're going to do what it takes to get the job done.
Okay.
And to be honest with you, it's so hard to transition people from the multitude to the inner circle.
That's good.
Because they get stuck.
That's good.
As being a provisional disciple.
That's good. That's good. So because we did that, we want to make sure we do this. We said we were going to do this at the beginning of every show. We're a few minutes late. It's all right. Quite all right. Quite all right. We good. We good. We want to give you all the scripture that I posted this morning. I just called them breakfast, lunch, and I've been posting them. Sunday is the only day I don't post scripture because I think you ought to be getting your word from church.
Yeah.
You don't need no word from me. You ought to be at somebody's church getting your scriptures and your word. But the scripture for today, I'm finna preach, coming from the book of, I got two scriptures today. The first one was 1 John 3:1, and the second one was 1 Corinthians 6:11. The breakfast scripture this morning was, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Then the second scripture for this morning was 1 Corinthians 6:11. Ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We're going to give you our fasting prayer, and we're going to move forward with the show. Go for it, sir.
Father in heaven, we ask for stability on today, God. We
yes.
ask for long-suffering, God, endurance, God, as we continue to do what you have called us to do, that some things only come by fasting and praying. Father, we pray that you fill the multitude, God, with your glory, God. We thank you that you give us perseverance in the name of Jesus, God. Thank you for all those who have a spirit of stick-to-itness, God. Now,
yes.
God, we pray that you carry us through this day, God, for what's to come is far greater and better than what's been. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. That's good. That's good. So, look, we want to hear from you guys. How is your fasting going? How is your fast? Your 21-day fast and prayer? No, it's not exactly the Daniel fast, so no, we're not doing that. But I do want to say this, shout out to Kev on stage. As soon as this fast is over, I am going on the Noah fast. That's the two animals a day. I'm gonna be eating it. two animals a day. I'm going on in.
It's the Noah fast.
Yeah, we already had a little powwow yesterday, and we decided that since the fast ends at 12:01 on the 30th, because the fast ends it's on the 29th.
29th.
So you got to go all day Sunday.
All day Sunday.
But then at 12:01, that's Monday the 30th.
That's right.
We meeting up at the Guy Romina place, and we going, yeah.
Oh.
That's been the, yeah. I'm you know, lamb and pita bread. That's Passover.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We having Passover at
Come
the Guy
on,
Romina place.
But I'm going to say this. I got to say this.
Come on.
And you motivate me so much, man. I got to give it to you because I'm not a jealous type guy, but my brother be wearing some nice shirts and sweaters and some nice blazers. And I love to dress, y'all, but it just don't look right in me.
Here we go.
Because we look like a number 10 up here. He's here and I'm there. Number 10. However, when I see him, I said, man, you know, we both got one thing in common. We both love shoes.
Yes.
We both love wingtip. I'm serious. But I love to see him dress. And so when this is over.
Say this today. I'm chilling with my Nikes on.
Yeah, that's all right. They know you get down. When this is over, y'all, I got some accountability partners, and he's one of them.
Yes, sir.
That I'm sticking to certain elements of this fast.
Absolutely. You don't have to stay, you ain't got to drop completely everything, but you just have to change some habits.
There you go.
That's all.
But one thing I am going back to.
What's the coffee?
Now,
do you put a lot of sugar in the coffee?
No, I do equal.
Oh. So you don't need your sugar intake is coming strictly from that
gummy worms,
that candy,
gummy worms,
yeah.
gummy worms,
yeah.
and fruit snacks.
Wait a minute. So yesterday we were looking at stuff, and we were trying to figure out what was in sugar. So everybody's being real specific about what's
that's
so
crazy.
They were talking about chewing gum, right? You know it's sugar and gum.
Even when it says sugar free,
if it says sugar alcohol on the back,
right,
it's got sugar,
right? But. If it says sugar free,
but if it says sugar free,
uh huh.
But if you then turn it over and look at the ingredients,
okay,
and it says sugar alcohol,
okay. Now, so y'all know that too. That's my other addiction. It's gum.
I like a good piece of gum too.
I chew gum every day.
Yeah,
but I forgot the name I have.
Is it extra or is it equal? Not yet equal. It's extra and
extra. I think it is.
Yeah, extra got it. It's got sugar.
Okay,
alcohol.
Well I need to stop it.
Because you just want that little hint.
Maybe I need to wash it off or something.
You can't. You can't wash it off.
You know, I'm going to tell y'all this. It's not even about me getting that taste.
No.
I love chewing.
Just like chewing. Like,
and I don't like my breath to stink.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm being honest with you.
Amen.
Man, I felt like the other day, somebody's breath was stinking so bad in the room that every place I went, it followed. Like, come on, dude. I mean, when you talk and your tongue duck, you know it's a problem. When you talk and something said back to you, you know it's a problem, man.
I'm so done.
I'm telling you, I can't stand it. I don't know about y'all, but your boy, I cannot stand stinking breath.
No, I'm
serious, y'all.
There is nothing in the world
worse
than and I know everybody wake up with it, but you can kill part of that if you just rinse at night before you go to sleep.
Man.
I'm just serious. But let me read some of these. Let's talk about some of y'all giving some Pastor Parks talking about that pizza.
Yeah.
God bless you both, Nicole, Kristen, bless you.
Kim.
Who's that?
Kimmy.
Oh, Kim Tate Tyler.
Tyler.
I like people that got 4-5 names.
Love you, Kim.
Kim Tate Tyler. Marissa Williams, God bless you. God bless you. Menard T. Johnson.
Menard.
Bless you. Marissa said, yes, he can dress. Thank you. Sister Faith says, I've been doing good, but I kind of started fasting certain days back in 2016. But she said, but I want a honey bun so bad.
Oh, Lord. Ain't nothing like a honey bun put in the microwave.
I never liked honey buns.
Really?
Never.
Never. They got the new school honey buns.
No, I didn't like them back.
I love the old school with the white icing on there.
I never was a honey
bun
dude.
See, back then, we didn't have microwaves like that. We put it in the oven.
And wrapped in a little foil. All it takes about 5 minutes.
Jesus. And if you have a scoop of ice cream, let the ice cream melt.
See, you're doing too
Jesus.
Much. Jesus. See, you're doing too much.
Jesus.
See, that's your problem.
That's all right.
You take it to the net.
I do take it to the net. See, I'm a fan of this. If you're going to do it,
just
do it
all the way.
Do it all the way. Don't shortchange it.
Hey, what does the song say? Come on and do
it. Do it like you can. Why don't you do it?
No, it's do it till you're satisfied.
No, that's the last part.
No, it's not do it while you can.
Oh, okay. Well, do it right.
Oh, this
satisfied.
Lord changed the word. Anyway, Faith Hager said
cold milk.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of honey buns.
I've never been a fan of cold milk either.
I only milk I want is in my cereal.
Yeah.
But no, it's always good. I'm glad to see you guys are doing well with the fast. Keep praying. Keep staying to it. It's good. And remember, you need to continue. It's not just about the food. It's about the prayers and it's about the scripture. And it's whatever it is you're fasting for.
Yeah.
All of us are doing the fast, but we're all fasting for different reasons.
Yeah.
We're all fasting for different reasons. It's a corporate fast. We decided to join in. Again, big shout out to Pastor Reggie Royal and London Royal over at Lifeline Church. Just amazing, amazing, amazing. I don't know if I mentioned this on Friday. Did I talk about the John Hannah being at Lifeline?
We talked about
Man, I just want to say again, that thing blessed me. I was watching a little bit of it.
I went back to it.
Yeah, my God, man, it is just powerful. Yeah. If you want to check something out, I think it's still posted. Go to Lifeline's website, Lifeline Facebook page or their website, and pull up last Wednesday's Bible study with John Hanna. It will bless, even the one the week before with John Eckhart, it will bless your soul. I promise you. I don't care. You know, folks, like you always talking about other people's church. If your church is doing something good, I'm going to pub it.
That's right.
If you ain't,
that's
I ain't
right.
got much to say.
Hey, but hey, check, truth be told, if you ain't talking about your church, something wrong. And the man wants you telling you stop talking about other church. They ain't saying nothing about their church.
Well,
man.
Mama always said, if you ain't got nothing nice to say,
man,
that is. Let's move on.
Man, listen, I got to throw that. I don't know if we was going to talk about
this
tonight. Steve.
I was going to go there. Go ahead.
Harvey.
Go ahead.
You know,
two things. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Steve, what the hell is your problem, man?
Oh, Lord.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Okay.
You know, that's my problem with Steve, y'all.
Yeah.
Number one, I said this some years ago. When Steve messed up y'all women trying to get y'all to think like a man. Steve done messed y'all up, for real.
Okay.
And then y'all became big Steve Harvey fans. You know, my thing, Steve always putting down people too in the way. However, while this president election was going on, Steve was one of the top dogs talking about President-elect Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a lesson to all of you. Never say what you wouldn't do until the opportunity is presented to you.
Mm-hmm.
Steve was probably one of the big advocates of Hillary Clinton. He was one of the big advocates of rebuking President Donald Trump. But he tried to sneak into a meeting with Donald. And always remember, people watching you.
Mm-hmm.
While he was coming out, cameras got on him.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get on him going in.
Right.
They got on him coming out.
I'm hearing conflicting stories about whether or not he was actually invited to this meeting, too.
See, I don't know that part.
See, that's the thing. It's like he showed up at Trump Tower and was asked once because he was there, he was then asked to come up. But not that this was some pre-scheduled
that's a lie.
Meeting. Number
one, what you going to Trump Tower for?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Why, if you're against this man, right, why right. patronize his business?
Well, here's the... here's the deal. I understand. I have two minds about it. And I normally don't have two minds about something, but I have two minds about it. We can't deny ourselves a seat at the table.
That's right.
Okay? So in order to know what's going on and to get whose ever perspective,
yeah,
we need to go to the table.
Yeah.
Now, my problem is, how do we get to the table and then bring the relevant issues to the table without and being able to eloquently state them so that everybody's stuff is addressed. My question or my concern is Steve Harvey really the person to be at the table?
All right, this
is why I say that. I understand he has this foundation. He does wonderful work
mm-hmm.
with his foundation. And I am a Steve Harvey fan. I don't listen to his radio show because when I'm up in the morning, I got on gospel music if I'm up in the morning mm-hmm. or I'm listening to sports. I don't listen to his show anymore, mm-hmm. and I prefer serious radio, to be uh-huh. honest with you. But he does a lot of stuff. His foundation, he brings those boys in, those boys of single parents and all that kind of stuff. He brings them in mm-hmm. and does stuff. He offers scholarships. I applaud that. There's no shade, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, it's the people that Donald Trump is bringing to the table. And then when I hear Steve Harvey talk about Donald, we talked about golf. Okay, that's fine. Y'all, we'll talk about golf. That's fine. I'm not a golfer. I have friends that golf. But he said we talked about golf.
Talk to me.
However, when he said he got Ben Carson on the phone, and I was encouraged about how fast he got Ben Carson on the phone so we could talk about the plight of the inner city. Ben Carson has been nominated for the urban development or whatever that position is for a job that he did not want. And let's just tell the truth. He is not qualified for. He is a doctor.
Qualified.
He's a doctor. He is a doctor, not a doctor, whatever. He's an actual medical doctor.
Medical.
Knows nothing about urban development. So the fact that this is who you're putting up there, and you're putting him up there because, let's get the key word, urban must mean you got to be black, and the only black person that Donald Trump knows, he only knows two, is Omarosa and Dr. Ben Carson.
Right.
And a couple of bootleg preachers right. that showed up because Donald going to come to their church, and at some point he going to write a nice tax-exempt check for himself
right.
to their church. So
right.
I could really care less about that, but it just bothers me that Steve just looked real uncomfortable when he got caught by them cameras on the way out.
That's the thing right there.
And
that's the thing.
Yeah, and Donald, and even when Donald was talking, and Donald made this comment, and he says, it was a real good meeting and all this, and he didn't say we're good friends, but he said something, and Steve had this look in his face like he didn't just say that in front of everybody.
My point exactly.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
Donald let out what took place in private, and he started making public.
Yeah. Donald is gonna tell. That's
gonna tell
one
it.
Thing about Donald Trump. He gonna tell.
I
it.
Respect that man. For
he
that.
Gonna he gonna tell it truth, ugly, bad, whatever.
I respect. Him
he
for
gonna
that.
Speak it bad, good, and different. He gonna say that.
I respect. See now, this what makes me question Steve Harvey going to the meeting with him.
Okay.
I'm not opposed, and I want you guys to hear this. I'm not opposed to Steve Harvey meeting with him.
Me neither.
But I'm opposed that Steve Harvey didn't bring someone with him.
Yeah.
To hold him accountable
yeah.
for what take place behind closed doors. Because what happened, Steve Harvey came out saying that we are to give him a chance. I think that his heart – now, he didn't say I think. He said, I know his heart is right
yeah.
into making a change in our community.
He seemed very sincere.
He seemed very sincere.
And then he says and I get what he says. He says President Obama says – that's how he opened up – that we should work with this man.
Okay, here. All right, now let me say this. If President Obama is stating that we should work with him, and which – He's right, Because even as Christians now, we got to understand, the Bible said we got to obey the rules of the land.
Yes.
And so I feel, and this is just parts, y'all. This don't have nothing to do with Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have nothing to do with Bible.
Yes.
I believe if President Obama want a selective group to meet with him,
mm-hmm.
why don't you call this meeting
mm-hmm.
with the selective group
mm-hmm.
so they can sit back and strategize or even question what our future is going to be and consist of our urban communities. See, he can't do that because he didn't ever do it.
And then here's the other issue. You can't go to the table. One of the things I love about this organization that we are part of, Sam, I used to be a part of, is Community Renewal Society,
uh-huh.
is they taught you how to go into meetings with politicians.
Yeah.
And you had to go in with leverage.
Exactly.
Right
exactly.
now, the one thing about Donald Trump is no one has any leverage over him.
No one.
We, the black community, hold no leverage
exactly.
because we ourselves don't have our stuff together.
Exactly.
So we don't hold any leverage. So when we go to the table, it's not like all we can go to the table with is we going to unite together in 4 years to make sure you don't get back in here. That's all we have to go to the table
the
with.
The sad part, we can't even come with a black agenda.
Well,
we've
yeah.
been trying to do this for years. But what's happening, you got too many agencies and organizations are fighting against each other, want to get the credit for establishing this black agenda.
Well,
and in the same token, your people, your communities, and your village is dying because you're fighting against one another because you don't want to come with this black agenda.
Yeah. Remember Tavis Smiley used to have this whole thing, this
that
thing, and it got off the rails.
Exactly.
Because as soon as they had their first meeting, they attacked the sitting brand new black president.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And got mad because he wouldn't come on the campaign. He's trying to win the election,
mm-hmm.
and Hillary came, and
mm-hmm.
then and because he sent Michelle,
mm-hmm.
they got offended.
Mm-hmm. And so now this is the thing. There's nothing.
See that bugs me. That's us though.
Yeah, this is nothing about Steve Harvey because majority of your listeners are African Americans.
Okay.
And majority of supporters
is yes, absolutely
is African American. I know that you. You had the Steve Harvey show, and it was that multicultural.
Yes.
I know you got the Family Feud, which
yes.
is multicultural and all
yes.
that.
Yes.
But on your radio station, majority of your listeners, I do believe, is African Americans, is minorities.
Yes.
However, don't take our voice away.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my problem I have with Steve, is Steve think he know everything.
Mm-hmm.
He just because he's at a place where he's at now, he think he knows everything. Even I had to stop listening to him in the morning because some of his sayings, his statements, wasn't
mm-hmm.
really making sense.
Mm-hmm.
It was very opinionated.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
and I appreciate your growth from your hardship to where you at today. But in the same token, don't take our voice away for how we feel. And so in saying that, you trying to defend yourself in going into this meeting. Now, the only reason why he's not going to the inauguration is because his wife stepped in and said that she's doing something for his birthday.
Oh, okay.
Which is a cover-up.
I saw that.
Which is a cover-up. Because, number one, half of him want to go, half of him don't want to go. It seemed like, when you're rich, you've got to compromise. I'm going to tell you guys this. When you're rich, compromising is in order. You have to, every person, that's why it's a lot of people, voice is silent, whether it's in the church, whether it's a politician, whether in our communities that got a lot of money, because they're afraid from getting some things taken away from them.
Yeah.
And that's why even with the Kim Burrell situation, you're going to see no big-time pastor standing up because they don't want to be taking their voice away from them. Even with this Donald Trump, you don't see most people you see complain about this are people that's lower class, middle class. You don't really see no higher class, all of them now is saying, well, since we elect, no, we ain't electing, we selected him.
Mm-hmm.
Since he's in office now, let's work with him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in agreement to that. But in the same token, don't be knocking this man to this group of people. And then when you have this opportunity to express
mm-hmm.
that would matter, you don't take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so even with Steve should have even put it out there. I'm about to go in a meeting with President-elect Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
make the people aware. How he came out of there looking like a state of shock, he's surprised, it makes you look suspect.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you look like you came out the closet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being honest with you. I love you, Steve. I love what you're doing for the communities, for our young boys. But if you're going to be a role model mm-hmm. for the African Americans, mm-hmm. you got to be more careful on what you're doing, how you do it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a good segue about the Kimber Rail situation. The other big notable thing in the news this weekend was the death of Bishop Eddie Long.
Man, you know,
and condolences to his family,
yeah.
To the New Birth churches down in Atlanta, Georgia,
yeah.
Savannah, Georgia, and Alpharetta, Georgia. That's a big gap for that area. And when I saw the news, I immediately got sad because I lived in Atlanta for 2.5 years. And while I was there, I didn't have a church home because my church was here in Chicago. And my church was here in Chicago at the time, was going through some turmoil. And they were in the process. The pastor that we had then was about to retire or resigned, and it was a whole bunch of mess surrounding it. And so I was pretty much cut off from my home church.
Mm.
And
you did go there.
Yeah, I went to New Life. I never joined, but I was going to New Life every Wednesday because I worked on Sundays. So I attended their Wednesday night worship service for almost 2.5 years.
Mm.
And it was some of the best experience in worship I had ever attended.
Yeah. William Murphy used to be the worship leader there.
He was the worship leader. He was his MD. Mm-hmm. And it was an amazing, amazing time. I've witnessed him preach, Bishop Eddie Long. I've witnessed him at conferences. The first time I saw him was at the Manpower Conference for T.D. Jakes back in the early 2000s. He was always there and just an amazing, amazing teacher. The thing that saddened me the most yesterday after reading about him dying was some of the response from some of the Christian community, and not just the lay people, but the pastors and some well-known bishops.
Really?
Came out, and some well-known radio people, and I was looking for the clip that what someone said, but I could not find it, so I won't repeat it because I want to hear it for myself. If I find it between now and Wednesday, I'll have it. But some people were saying things like, I wonder what part of hell he descended into and what part of this and that based off of the allegations, and I'm going to leave it at this. Yes, there were allegations. Yes, he settled out of court.
Sure.
And that's what it is. I'm not, you know, everybody has faults.
Yeah.
Everybody has faults, and I'm not trying to excuse them. I'm not trying to overlook them. And if people were harmed, definitely your prayers go out to those victims, if there were some. But my thought on this is that this was a man who led a congregation of 25,000 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Don't be so quick to, you know, and then you got people saying, well, I hope he got his mind. I hope he was right with God before he died.
I mean,
I hope we all right with God before we die.
That's what's wrong with the Christian church now.
Mm-hmm.
We're so in war with one another publicly. Now, that's a way that you can go through. You can go through privately and you can go through publicly. But let me share this with you guys. When you go on at war with another believer, whether they're notable or not, publicly, you're letting the law see how you operate. And because you're operating in that capacity, knowing that you are a Christian, you are a believer, now the people of God, the people that want to come into this looking like, man, why would I want to be bothered with something like this? And this is not what you guys who when you introduce me to it, you're not saying that this is what this is all about. But I see how you're acting. I see how you're at war with one another.
Yeah.
Where is the love? And now my question got to go back to this.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody talking about the Kim Burrell thing.
Yeah.
About love.
Yeah.
OK, where's the love with him now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, here it is. He passed the 25,000 members.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I talked to a great a friend of mine that's an armor bearer to his wife
mm-hmm.
currently.
Yeah.
And I talked to her yesterday, Lenora,
mm-hmm.
and she said it's about 9 to 10,000 folks that goes. They only have one service.
Yeah.
And he preached last week.
Yeah, he did.
And she said in his sermon last week, he was saying that so many people have been calling him, and he was like, okay, if you're not calling me to pray for me or make sure that healing is in order. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be bothered with you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you get to that point because as a leader, as mm-hmm. a Christian, as a pastor,
mm-hmm.
some folks you don't even want to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks, it just pisses you off to the point of, man, I thought we was on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I tell anybody, man, I'm a KA side to the day I die, but the greatest fraternity that I'm ever involved in was on a football team.
Yeah.
Because I know that I had a group of brothers that had my back.
Yes.
In this church thing, and I have to let loose and be real, because there's so many people that are going to hate you while you live and going to hate you when you die.
Mm-hmm.
And even when he was alive, I seen someone put up, I'm not going to say the name, someone mm-hmm. put up that, look at, man, what this world coming to. I see all these rest in peace now.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was going through his allegations.
Where were you?
Where were you?
Yeah.
And this the thing, man, that's the typical people for you. And I'm be honest with you. You don't see Caucasians doing this. It's us.
Only us.
Destroying.
We only do that.
Each other.
We only do that.
It's us. There's certain things you can't keep blaming
mm-hmm.
on Caucasians.
Yeah.
I'm being 100 with you guys mm-hmm. on this. This is us. This is us going to war, doing Facebook Lives, Facebook posts,
mm-hmm.
Twitter
mm-hmm.
about our own. But then you talking about, hey, we won't change. Who gonna stand up? Hell, who got the guts to stand up when they know when they stand up, they're going to get knocked right back down?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm serious. When guys try to take a stand in the communities, we get knocked right back down by our own people.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we take a stand when we know for a fact that you're going to knock us? You're going to emasculate us as men, women. You emasculate us. You take our very dreams and our duties away from us because you have gotten so independent that you lost your dependency.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. It's time that you allow us to be who we are and know that we're not perfect. Man, that man not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God that his wife didn't leave him. Nobody talking about that she filed the divorce, but then they
right.
reconciled
right.
things.
Right.
No,
right.
Nobody talk about that his kids still was operating ministry there in spite of the allegations. Nobody talking about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But all everybody keep throwing up is his one mistake. Besides him and the allegation with the boy, what else you got on this man?
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone talked about how well he treated his staff?
Mm-hmm.
How he made every person that was on his staff, he sent them to the dealership to go get them a Mercedes Benz. Nobody talk about stuff like that. But you want to talk about him doing what he did. Listen, I understand he messed up. But guess what? He asked for forgiveness, I believe, because I don't believe that God would allow him to have a comeback
mm-hmm.
if he didn't ask for forgiveness. So our daily thing, people of God, don't worry about what people going to say about you.
Mm-hmm.
You keep operating in what you believe God have called you to do, and don't let nothing stop you. Because now they're talking about this man died because of AIDS. He died. I mean, there's so many allegations. And they don't know this. 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
he was diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah.
10
right.
years ago.
Right.
And it went into remission.
Right.
So, man, right. You, every situation is not as bad as you think. Huh?
I want to read, because a lot of people went in and talked about it. I want to read what Bishop Larry Trotter put on his post yesterday, because this just blessed me.
Mm-hmm.
This is Bishop Larry Trotter, Sweet Holy Spirit Church. Bishop Larry Trotter wrote this on his post yesterday. He says, so you just cursed yourself speaking vile and negative things about my friend, Bishop Eddie Long. He says, I'm thinking, brother, so-called bishop, that I shouldn't go to the funeral, but instead use my money to have you investigated. He said, I'm sure you have some wow. dead bodies in your closet.
Wow.
He says, most people know, he's talking about one of these bishops who came out talking sideways. He says, most people know you are a jackleg fool.
Wow.
Do you know anything about the doctrine of grace? How about mercy? How about Christian love? He says, how dare you suggest God killed him or that he deserved to die while his wife, his children, and 3 grandchildren and 25,000 members grieve his loss. He says that man did not have AIDS. He had cancer. Some of you are posting he was HIV positive. And even if he had AIDS, so what? We all gonna die from something. He says, you people, you Christian folk are so cruel. Maybe you need a crash course in the ministry of restoration. He says, you see, when God forgives and restores a person, he throws it in the sea of forgetfulness.
Yeah.
How dare we glory in this? How dare we dig up his past rather than whether there was any truth in it or not? He that is without sin cast the first stone. When forgiveness He says, when God forgives, he erases our past. Take it from me. Pastors give their lives for ministry. He says, my children had to sacrifice many days as I traveled the globe and preached in 20 countries and the countless hours of pastoring. This man, Eddie Long, has given his life to the ministry for 40 years. This man impacted the world with some of the messages he preached. The Overcomer, Delilah in Treatment, Delilah and In Treatment, to name a few. His books and recordings were worldwide. He says, in 1993, he came to Chicago and I went to Atlanta for our consecrations. In 1999, when I had clogged arteries with 99% blockage to my heart, I had flowers everywhere. He was the only preacher who sent me money to feed my kids. Wow. Wow. To feed my kids. He says, and the list goes on. He preached for me at Sweet Holy Spirit, and I preached for him at New Birth. I succeeded him at the Full Gospel as the third presiding bishop. Mm-hmm. He says, when you're talking foolishness, you've placed yourself in a position to be cursed. No wonder why you haven't been invited to preach or teach outside of your city. No wow. wonder why your church hasn't grown. Oh, you forgot the old adage, accept it be for the grace of God. There wow. I go. Now that he's gone, please rest in him, or let him rest and transition in dignity. Signed, Bishop Larry Donnell Trotter, Sweet Holy Spirit
wow.
Church, Chicago,
wow.
Illinois.
Wow. Thanks to God. Psalms 105:15 says,
yeah.
touch not my anointing, do
yeah.
my prophet no harm.
Yeah.
Let me say this. No matter how you feel about a person, don't curse your life
yeah.
by putting your mouth on the anointed.
That's right.
I'm serious. I mean that because I dealt with that before
yeah.
as well. When I wasn't the best associate minister,
yeah.
when I was angry and all that stuff. And, you know, that's not cool. You know, we have no heaven or no hell to put anyone in.
Yeah.
And that's why the world is so chaotic, because of our behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't address this to the world. He did not address this to the Muslims. He didn't address this to Jewish, Buddhism, Jehovah's Witnesses. He addressed this to the Christian church. And we as Christian church need to take a stand to let some of this foolishness know that we can't tolerate it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why most people run from this doctrine, because we tolerate everything what people say. Whatever sounds good, we're going along with it.
Wow. Real quick, email says, Steve is a hypocrite.
Yeah, yeah.
She says, when did the fast start? So, well, I guess she had been out of touch for a while, so she didn't know.
Oh.
There's nothing we can do about the ads on Ustream. I understand people are getting commercials in between our,
oh.
you know, that's how Ustream pay their bills. And since we're not paying them, you know, that's what they do. Y'all pray for us that we can get that different. But, yeah, so that's what that's what that is. But, yeah, man, so, you know, again, man, that's a big loss. You know, regardless of how you feel about the situation, whether you had moved yet to a spirit of forgiveness or whatever, as far as him. And first of all, he did no harm to you. So what was there for you to forgive?
My point exactly. My point is exactly.
My thought processes are this. If God could use, if Jesus could use even the people he knew who were going to persecute him,
mm-hmm.
if Jesus could use, if God could use David, if God could use people with all types of issues, if Jesus could personally choose Paul when he was Saul, while he was going around persecuting Christians,
wow,
and still use him, Watch this. With his infirmity, well, come on now,
yeah.
with his issue,
his handicap,
with his flaw, if he could still use him,
yeah,
then who are we to judge somebody who had a fall, or who we assume or was alleged had a fall? So we need to be real careful about putting people in and condemning people to hell.
Yeah.
My Bible says there is no condemnation.
That's right.
Come
That's
on
right.
now. So we need to be real careful before we start condemning people, because you need to look at the log in your own eye.
That's
before
right.
you pick out the speck
That's
in
right.
your brother's
oh,
eye.
Oh, brother. Jesus said he didn't come to condemn the world.
Come on.
He come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And I'm going to say this, and we want to pray for every and this is what we need to do as people of God. We need to continue to pray for those
yes.
of ignorance.
Yeah.
Those who are doing things for popularity, for notoriety, because truth of the matter, they're doing this stuff just for the people, not for God.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus said it best, Father, please forgive them.
For they know not.
For they know not what they do.
Yeah.
And good. And I can't put my mouth on another man's success or even his failures.
Mm-hmm.
Because who am I to talk about that another man, that his shortcomings?
Yeah, who am I but through the grace of God?
But I'm uh-huh. serious. And you know, I always get teary and caught up when I talk about, number one, God's love for me.
Yeah.
I get caught up about his grace and his mercy because, listen, if he can give me that gift.
Exactly.
Of all the people in the world.
Exactly.
I don't even have to dig in no one else's closet.
Who am I? If he can
who
do that
I?
For me, who am I to turn around and say, you can't be saved?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
My own closet.
Yeah. When did we become so righteous that I can that all I can do in my righteousness is point out your unrighteousness?
Man, my own closet. And that's all I can keep saying because truth of the matter, I ask God for forgiveness every day because I know I'm going to sin. It's not that I want to sin.
Yeah.
It's just that it's in our nature to sin.
We have to kill the flesh daily.
You have to kill it daily.
Daily. My God. Look, y'all, this is good. Look, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into this conversation. I want to read some of these posts real quick. Faith, no. Where is it at? Dana Miller says, I've been doing well with my fast. My struggle has been coffee and ginger ale. But I'm making it through in Jesus' name. Nicole Christian says, I've been doing well with the fast. D'Amica Brown says, I guess talking about Steve, he looked very uncomfortable. Yolanda King says, so where was Steve Harvey's concern for urban development when Obama was in office?
Good question.
He was concerned about his foundation.
Good question.
She says, even mega preachers will be held accountable for their actions.
That's true.
That's true. If someone is struggling with something, you should pray for them. And just because he settled doesn't mean he was guilty of what he was accused of. Repentance is essential to our relationship with God.
That's good.
Felicia says, praise him. Yolanda comes back and she says, the reality is people are always going to remember a scandal over good deeds.
And that's true.
That's true, because one of the number one shows in the country is a show called Scandal.
That's true.
Yeah, and that's very true.
That's
because
true.
Think about it. For all the good that Bill Clinton did, people only want to remember Monica Lewinsky.
I know that's right.
So let's just talk about it. But anyway, y'all, look, we're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. It's going to be good. Today's conversation, the key to effective outreach. The keys to effective outreach. So we're going to jump into that. We're going to be right back, y'all. I'm going to give those of you on Blog Talk, y'all going to get a little bit of this this Adrian B. King, So Amazing. I'm going to get that to y'all over here.
Well, when I think of his grace
this sound over
and
here.
His mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is
I'm going to get all that.
Company.
I'm gonna get y'all that over there. Hopefully y'all still getting that. Yeah. Let me know if that's still going through, the music going through on for that over there. And then over here on the Facebook Live and the other side, we gonna get a little something different over here. Amen. Lord your might. You can pray. Y'all stay blessed. We'll be back.
grace is amazing.
Amazing grace.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are back. We are back. We are back. Yeah. Had to take that little break. We appreciate y'all staying with us. We do. It's all good. Taking limits off Martin Luther King Day.
Yes, sir.
Man.
I have a dream.
Really?
That one day.
That's what you got?
Yes, sir.
That's it? That's all.
I did it a long time ago. I probably still got. I might hit it at the end.
You hit it at the end?
Yeah, I might hit it at the end.
At the end?
I don't want to shout nobody.
Okay, you don't want to shout nobody. Okay. All right. I'm gonna hold you to that. We're gonna see. Look, y'all. We got this great article. If you haven't already done so, those of you on social media, whether it be on Ustream or Facebook Live or Twitter. Hit the share button. We're about to start this article. The keys to effective outreach. The writer, this was written this year, January 8th. The writer is Greg Steer. He says simply this. He says, use your words.
Mm.
He says, all of us as parents with children older than two or three know the phrase well. Small children just learning to talk sometimes get frustrated or excited or whatever, and they use grunts, groans, screams, whimpers, or hand motions to try to tell us something.
Yeah.
He says, it's at these times we use the classic parenting phrase, use your words. As parents who love our children, we want to help move them from the immaturity to maturity, and part of that process is getting them to articulate what they are feeling or thinking. To truly grow, kids must learn how to use their words in the communication process. What's true in parenting is also true in evangelism. If we really want to mature in our outreach effectiveness, we must use our words.
Mm.
He says, let's just stop right there for a minute about using our words. One of the things, and I think he's going to get to this in a few seconds, is a lot of people don't know how to evangelize because they don't know how to express their Christian journey.
You know, the best way.
Come on.
A person can evangelize that don't know a lot of words,
mm-hmm,
is share their testimony.
Okay. Okay.
But I learned a lot of people don't know how to give a testimony.
That's true.
Giving a testimony is not preaching a sermon.
No.
You're talking about the tragic, and then you're talking about, in essence, talk about the disaster and then talk about the miracle. I talked yesterday, in order for a miracle to happen, first a disaster must occur.
Mm-hmm.
Something bad had to happen in order for God to come in and deliver and set free. Yeah.
In order for there to be a need for a miracle.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times in our wording, we don't know how to project it.
Mm-hmm.
And we really, like the artist said, we don't know how to articulate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might have the words in your mind, but you don't know how to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And watch this. You might not know how to get it out when it comes down to the Bible, but you can get it out when it comes down to your work.
Yes. Yes.
And that's because you're doing your work daily.
Yes.
You're doing that all the time. And so you're accustomed to certain wording. You're accustomed to certain conflict resolution.
Yeah.
So in order to get the wording out in evangelizing,
mm-hmm,
this something has to be routine.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to share the goodness of Jesus. And it's like, all right, here, we both in fraternities.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be someone who's interested.
Yes.
In our fraternity.
Yes.
And we know that there are certain things we can't share.
Right.
But we should still should be able to
share our experience.
Our experience, or even tell them about our fraternity.
Absolutely.
Without getting them lost.
Yeah, you tell them about what you do. When you when you're selling your fraternities, or as you used to have them back in the day, I don't know if they still have rushes, but you used to have rushes back in the day for they had the rushes for the sororities.
Some
and then for the fraternities they had, you know, they just had parties.
Mm-hmm.
But
they call it lectures or something.
Yeah. But what we do is here's the deal.
Informational.
Right. Some people join fraternities just to be a member of something.
Yeah.
Some join for the party purposes.
Yeah.
Others join for the actual real purpose of it, the brotherhood, the community outreach, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what you're selling on it, then you need to be able to sell, well, this is what we do. This is what this chapter does.
Mm-hmm.
And now, mind you, you probably won't stay here because I was in Florida. Other people were other places when they
mm-hmm.
pledged. So you're not going to stay where you pledged. But when you go home,
right.
you may want to take this and join up with a local chapter.
There you go.
And make sure that they are implementing what we said we stand for. This is in our bylaws. This is in our stuff. This is what we do.
Yeah.
And you should be able to express that. All the secret stuff, the handshakes and la la la, that's after the fact.
That's after, that's for
membership.
But
to get you in, no.
But good then. Now here, I believe every believer should be able to quote Romans 10:9. You know, I believe that.
Okay.
You know, a lot of us normally the key scripture that people quote is Matthew 6, which is the model Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
Or Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd.
Right.
You got non-believers could quote that.
Yeah.
I mean, I never forget I was doing a funeral, and I was walking the family in, and I'm just quoting it. Now, I'm going to tell y'all this. Sometimes I got a problem with doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of scriptures that I don't need my Bible a lot, and which is bad.
Yeah.
Because it shows arrogant, too.
Yeah.
But it's
not really. It's okay.
I never forget I did at a funeral,
uh-huh.
and Pastor Agra said, you know, Well said, but, you know, what was the purpose of you not using your Bible?
Uh-huh.
I said, oh, wow. But here it is. I was walking in, and I had some non-Christians. I knew they were.
Yeah.
And they was, as I was talking, they was talking along with me, not after me.
Right.
And someone was ahead of me.
Uh-huh.
I said, man, this is a familiar passage of Scripture.
Yeah, it is.
Now, as believers,
mm-hmm.
our key Scripture, as Christians,
mm-hmm.
our key Scripture is Romans 10:9.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, Lord Jesus has risen from the dead,
mm-hmm.
you are saved.
Yes.
You know, if you can't quote that to non-believers, then you need to reevaluate your status quo when it comes down to Bible knowledge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to keep it going. We're talking about the keys to effective outreach.
A few days ago,
mm-hmm.
I had a pretty awkward conversation with a woman in the fellowship hall of a church.
Mm-hmm.
She told me that she never really articulated the gospel with her neighbors, but simply let them see Christ in her.
Mm-hmm.
She had no intentions and felt no obligations to try to share the gospel message with them verbally.
Mm-hmm.
I explained to her that evangelism requires words. In the Greek word, evangelize comes from the word euglizo. It simply means to verbally declare good news. Even the dictionary defines evangelism as the spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching or personal witness.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Let's just start real quick.
Come on, go ahead. Go ahead.
This was so powerful because, you know, I know the Bible said, let your light so shine before you, before men, so they can see your good work.
Yeah.
But in the same token, people want to hear what you know as well.
Exactly. What if I'm blind, though?
And there you go.
So you got to talk to me.
There you go.
What if I can't see?
There you go.
Come
so
on.
In essence, as a Christian,
mm-hmm.
as a disciple, our job is to make disciples
mm-hmm.
out of men.
Yes.
Here, a pastor's job is to disciple the leaders, and leaders' job is to go sheep to get sheep.
To equip us.
Yeah, and there you go. And so you cannot just walk around and watch this, thinking that somebody will model how you act,
mm-hmm.
And that is heaven or that is Jesus.
Yeah.
Here, the rich young ruler.
Yes.
He came to Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and he asked Jesus the question,
yeah.
What must I do to gain eternal life?
Yes.
Jesus gave him a whole list of things that he needed to do. And the man started getting all happy and excited. He said, oh, man, I did that. Then Jesus came back and said, well, sell your stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the rich young ruler looked at Jesus,
yeah,
and just turned around.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in his stature, in his walk,
yeah,
he looked like he was doing everything it
absolutely
took.
Absolutely.
But because he didn't do one of the main ingredients, what Jesus instructed him to do,
mm-hmm.
he didn't do it. So in essence, what we're saying, it takes more than your actions,
yeah,
to win somebody over to Christ.
Yeah.
It really do.
Yeah. Let's keep it going because there's a little bit more to it, and we can jump right back into it. She says, the writer says, but without words, no, it says,
of course, live the message.
Oh yeah, of course we want to live the message. Thank you. And yes, we want to build loving relational bridges with those around us. We must let our little light shine with the way that we live. Then he says, but without words, we are not sharing the message that we can save them from a hopeless life and Christless eternity.
Mm.
As Romans 10:14 reminds us, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in?
Wow.
And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard?
Wow.
And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?
Yeah.
Our jobs, whether you are a pastor, preacher, or the person sitting on the fifth row on the left side of the church,
mm-hmm.
your job is to tell people what you know about Christ.
That's right.
And to be able to just simply tell them about what he's done for you.
That's right.
That's it. You don't have to know no whole lot. Like the pastor said, Romans 10:9.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Pastor Ray Williams used to say this all the time. Just get you one verse that you know.
There you go.
He said, just get you one verse
there you go.
That you know and stand on that one verse.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I don't just know it by heart. Know
mm-hmm.
what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what's going to happen. Because you can recite a scripture to people.
That's right.
And just like you said, everybody knows Psalm 23.
Yeah.
But can you explain what it means?
What it means.
Can you explain the context?
That's
even
good.
With the rich young ruler. Yes, Jesus told him, go and sell all your stuff. Immediately he thought in his head, but my stuff is who I am.
There you go.
He didn't realize that, guess what? The way I take that is, even if he had sold it because
Woo.
He was going to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
Come on now, because if we go back to the Old Testament
yeah.
and we look at Job and we look at everybody
the sacrifices.
Else, the sacrifices only open you up to receive more.
There you go.
So, yes, had he stolen all of what he had
mm-hmm.
and followed Jesus, just imagine what he would have had he done that. But see, a lot of us think about that and go, well, it was about the money. No. It was about the faith and who he was going to follow.
There you go.
Come on. Yeah, so,
what profit a man?
Yeah. Come on. So we need to be able to recognize that people will not hear the word unless it's preached to them. And maybe it's not by preaching. It's just simply by having a conversation.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Doc.
But beyond all the excuses lurks the real reason for the gospel silence, fear, and shame. Watch this, y'all.
Now, you finish the next one up.
Oh, over the years.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, okay. There you go. Over the years, I have heard plenty of excuses as to why someone doesn't verbally declare the gospel to someone.
Mm-hmm.
I heard things that range from postmoderns don't respond to propositional assertions, or that's not my style, or if I really live it, then at some point they will ask me what I believe or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond all that excuses lurks the real reason for their gospel silence, fear and shame.
Mm.
Watch this, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
The fear of rejection, of losing friends, keeps them silent.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, they are not willing to pay the price of following Jesus by risking their relationship, by bringing the gospel up. Down deep inside, they
mm-hmm.
are ashamed to rock the relational boat by sharing the very exclusive message of Jesus to their inclusive peers.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to bring discomfort to their peers, because they may bring discomfort to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having a syringe full of the cure to the cancer, but refusing to use it on a friend with cancer because you're afraid of hurting them with the needle.
Wow. That's good. That's
Woo!
Good. That's good.
That is good. So deep.
That's good.
And the question I often ask people, you know, what is the real reason why we don't spread the gospel? Is it we really don't believe in the gospel wholeheartedly?
Yeah.
Or is it that what he said, we're going to be ashamed? I don't think it's rejection, because we go try to purchase a car, and we don't know if we're going to get the car or not.
Well, it depends. Yeah, that's true. Well,
I mean, if you got bad credit.
Well, yeah, thank you, if you put it that way.
If you got bad credit.
Right.
And you go purchase a car, try to purchase a car, you don't know what they're going to say.
You're going there with speculation. I love this part where he says, that's not my style.
That's good.
That's why some people don't do it, because that's not really my style.
That's not what I do.
That's not, you know, or then he says, if I really live it, then at some point they're going to ask me what I believe.
Mm.
So here is the biggest indictment on Christians, or church folk, as I like to call it. You go to church every Sunday. You go to Bible study. You do all these different things. But the folk at your job and people outside of church have no idea that you go to church.
And that's crazy. That's crazy.
They have no idea that you in
that's
church
crazy.
Shouting, that you in church shouting hallelujah, that you in church hollering praise his name and thank you, Jesus. But the people outside of the four walls of where you go to church, the only people that know that you are a church member are the ones at church. That's a problem.
I got a member.
Go ahead.
I was sitting down talking to me. This is in December.
Yeah.
And she's a great member. She's very supportive, but she's loud and she talk a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she's obnoxious at times.
Mm-hmm.
I she'll tell you this.
Okay.
She said one day it was based upon trying to get their raises. She worked for TSA mm-hmm. at the airport. And I guess they get an annual bonus.
Okay.
And she said that the bonus is based upon their performance
okay.
and what their supervisor, manager, think they should get.
Okay.
And so she said that they switched supervisors, and the supervisor didn't like her.
Okay.
And so the supervisor brought her in to do her report. What you call that?
Review.
Her review. Yeah,
uh-huh,
her review.
Uh-huh.
And she didn't get good reviews. And she says she know that she don't call off. She do good work and all mm-hmm. this stuff. She don't get good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, she start going crazy,
mm-hmm.
ballistic, cursing her manager out and everything,
mm-hmm.
saying that they had to call in security and all that stuff. And then at the very end,
mm-hmm.
she said, I go to church. She said, them people looked at me like, oh, you go to church and you act like this,
uh-huh,
and it taught
uh-huh.
her a lesson
uh-huh,
as well
uh-huh,
that
uh-huh.
you got to be careful on how you do things and what you do. And so sometimes we can't win souls because of our display. The proverb said, "He that wins souls is wise."
Yeah.
And a lot of times we, how we act around the world. Let's say this: how we act around the world is very contradictive to the word. And we cannot compromise. And, you know, truth of the matter, I learned that a lot of people don't believe in 2 Timothy 2:15, studied to show thyself approval, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of times people don't take time in studying the word. And that's why they're lost in the
right,
word.
Right, right.
Because, and that's why they don't know how to project it. They don't go to Bible class,
mm-hmm.
don't go to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard to have a biblical conversation when you don't understand it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I love this again. You hit on it. When you don't understand something, you can't talk about it.
You can't.
See, you can nod your head. You can BS about certain things, but when people, because here's the deal, it's not like, and I've said this before, the times are not like they were before.
Exactly.
Where you could stand up and say anything. Well, the Bible says this, and
yeah.
people just took you at its word.
Yeah.
And moved on from there.
Yeah.
That is not the way it works.
Yeah.
That's not the way it works
yeah.
now. Now you got to be able to come. People going to say,
you
well,
prove.
Why? Yeah. People going to say, well, why though?
You got to prove it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is what he says. He says, too many Christians hide behind evangelistic philosophies that fall short of the New Testament norm because they're afraid of the friction, the frustration, and the potential fallout of a gospel conversation. But in Mark 8:38, Jesus made it clear, crystal clear to his disciples that if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in the Father's glory and with the holy angels. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of his words. Communicate these words with a humble heart and a listening ear, but communicate them with your life and your lips. Use your words.
Use them.
Yeah.
You know, and I the scripture is clear.
Yeah.
Mark 8:38.
Yeah.
And you know, this is not in the King James Version, but
right, exactly.
You know, if you be ashamed of Jesus
before
men,
yep.
Then he'll be ashamed of you before his Father, which is in heaven.
Yeah.
And this simply means if your back is against the wall, watch
yeah.
this,
mm-hmm.
and your life is dependent on you to compromise
yeah.
what you stand for,
yeah.
who you going to stand for.
Yeah.
If people tell you, if you mention Jesus' name again, you will die, what you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah. That's in the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What you going to do? And so, you know, you got to learn, know what you stand. I remember when I was in the street and I was willing to take a bullet
mm-hmm.
for someone.
Yeah.
And I'm being honest because that was my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing how we're afraid to die for the gospel.
Oh, well, and again, it's one of those things here in America that we're inconsiderate, or we take we don't acknowledge the fact of how good we got it over here, because people overseas are dying every day.
Yeah.
Just because they're Christian.
Yeah.
Just because the whole communities are being wiped out.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they're yeah. preaching Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
People are being beheaded daily because they're preaching Jesus. So here I think we take it for granted that we're able to talk freely and openly about our love and our relationship with Jesus. But on the other side of the world, you mention Jesus, your tongue will be cut out and you'll be beheaded in front of people.
Wow.
Just because you preach Jesus.
Wow.
The Bible says in the end days they're gonna come around and those who follow the beast, who follow Satan, they're going, if you follow Jesus, you're gonna be killed. You're gonna be martyred.
Wow.
If you follow Satan, you're gonna be marked.
Wow. Wow.
You're going to be marked. So you're going to have the option. Do you take this mark or do you say, I believe in Jesus? It's going to be one or the other. And
wow.
that's Bible, y'all. You can read it for yourself. But this is good, man. So hopefully we understand that we need to be better with our words. We need to be better with expressing our beliefs and our Christianity, because it's just something that we have to do. We are supposed to become disciples so that we can turn around and make disciples.
That's it.
That's it.
You know, I see a post that Felicia Martin
yeah.
Put up there.
And, what you're sharing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna say this. That can be yes or no, because
okay.
We are to share things that we know,
mm-hmm.
and truth be told, a lot of us share stuff that we don't live.
Okay.
And I'm a firm believer when you constantly sharing things,
yes.
it's helping you personally, number one.
That's true.
It's helping you, and it's helping you to get better. And I see a lot of people tiptoe on different sin
yes.
because they struggle with it.
Yep.
And I remember this. I never forget this. I was at Greater St. John, and there were some things that I wouldn't ask God for forgiveness because I was afraid that I was going to continue to do this sin over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I got tired of saying, okay, God.
Right.
Lord, please forgive me for the same stuff over and over.
Right.
And so I was sitting in a class, and I heard an instructor said, well, truth be told, if you constantly asking God for forgiveness, ask him to take the taste out of your mouth,
yep.
out of your body.
That's right. Remove the appetite.
Remove the appetite.
That's right.
And slowly but surely, I start doing that. But truth be told, I know some people don't ask for forgiveness for certain things because they're not ready to be delivered from it.
That's true.
I'm dead serious.
You are absolutely correct. Go ahead.
And so even in that, I think even though we're not personally living the life that we're preaching,
mm-hmm.
we still can help others.
Yeah.
Because I do believe that there are going to be some people who have preached and taught the gospel
mm-hmm.
that won't enter heaven.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because
but they help others get there.
Absolutely, because the preaching not only convicts those listening.
That's right.
But it convicts the one giving the message.
It should. Yep.
So it's hard, and I say this all the time. Sometimes it's hard to preach some stuff when I'm knowing it, and when I'm down and I'm writing some things. It's hard to preach some stuff, and it's like, wait a minute, I'm talking about myself.
Yep.
I'm stepping on my own toes. So we need to but see, as long as you feel that spirit of conviction, then you know you're still connected to the Father.
Now this is a catch.
Come on.
And I tell people this too.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that you're so holy roly because you got one area in your life all together.
Right, one area.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
One of the things, I mean, there's some areas that I wish I had down pat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one was gluttony.
Okay.
I'm serious. I mean, I'm in this condition I am
right.
getting rid of sweetness because I messed up in the past with gluttony.
Okay.
Now, you know, it's sad that we only look at sins as in fornication, adultery, lying, murder, stealing.
Yep.
But there's other sins that cause detriment to our bodies, that cause major heart stuff that's take place in our body. It causes us to die.
Yeah.
In Greece. All that, I mean, so, you know, I understand what everyone view, but don't be afraid.
Yeah, don't be afraid.
To tap into something you struggle with.
Yeah. Felicia says she received a message. She says, I struggle with smoking and cigarettes. I'm not going to mince to someone about that. That's what she was saying.
Oh, but you know something, Felicia?
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
But listen, even if you struggle with it, you know, sometimes you can have a like a book club, a cigarette club on how we all can stop doing it. I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be creative in the gospel to get over an addiction. Truth of the matter, I struggle, and not to say so much with eating, but I struggle with some things in my life that I had to disassociate myself or even consult help, counsel, because I couldn't do it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I really couldn't. And you know, when I sit back, and you might not like gummy worms, but when I look at when I put a gummy worm in my mouth, it's like one of the best tastes ever. I mean, I don't just put one. I don't put two, three, or four. I grab a whole handful of gummy worms, and I put them in my mouth, and I start chewing them like they're gum. So I'm addicted to – I'm serious. I'm addicted to gummy worm coffee. I thought I could not function without coffee.
Yeah.
But look at here. It's been 7 days since I had coffee.
Yeah.
And guess what? I'm functioning.
Yeah.
So it's not that I can't function. It's just that there's an addiction that have overruled my whole entire body and got to my mind.
Because it's that caffeine. It's that caffeine. Now, here's the question.
Mm-hmm.
And this was good. I hope you all got something out of this. 21 days, you know, we got some days from now. what if the taste is removed?
What if
your urge for that morning coffee is gone?
And if it's gone, I'm not going to try to force it back.
Okay.
And I'm being honest with you. Even though I love me some French vanilla.
Right.
With cream and three equals. Large. I love that.
Uh-huh.
But if the taste is gone.
You're going to.
Because look, I've been drinking green tea.
Yeah.
Just straight out green.
Yeah,
or yesterday before I had just regular Lipton tea with no sugar.
Right. Just lemon.
Not even lemon.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
I was just sipping it, and I did it.
Uh-huh.
I did it.
Uh-huh.
It didn't leave an aftertaste.
Right, right.
But I'm not trying to get accustomed to that taste.
right.
Because I miss me some. I do. But, you know, if the Lord said, okay, you got to get rid of gummy worms, fruit snacks, and coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think I'm not going to consult him and ask him, okay, Lord, can I at least have one of them?
Right.
But if he said cut it, I'm going to cut it.
That's good. So we were talking, is MLK Day.
Yeah.
So you're going to give us some of your.
I decided that we just going to do something. If you got something already.
No, I don't. I was looking for it. I, you know what? I had some stuff, and I must have deleted it
out
of the playlist. I couldn't find it. Like, I was trying to find it.
I got it. Let me see if I can pull up the word.
Go ahead.
I'm going to hit it a little bit.
We're going to give y'all a little bit. He's going to do a little bit of his which going to get into. I Have a Dream.
Listen here. I got to go to the close.
That's part. Okay, you're going to go to the close. Okay, all right.
Yes, sir.
this should be good. This should be good. We're going to give y'all a little bit
of
Pastor Parks. As soon as his phone acts right, I don't know why he just don't look it up on the computer. But
I know, right?
Yeah, open up another tab over there.
Let me just open up
another tab and put in.
I Have a Dream.
Yeah. There you go. So we gonna do that. Look, we hope you guys are really enjoying this. I hope you have a good. For some of y'all that are off today, bless y'all for having off days today. You know, so we definitely gonna look forward to that. I think he found it. You're gonna just we're gonna scroll.
Oh, let me say this about this, man.
Go ahead.
I'm upset with Biloxi, Mississippi.
Biloxi, Mississippi.
Biloxi.
Okay.
Because
Biloxi.
Well,
that's a car.
Okay. Oh my God. I've been doing pretty good with my words.
Use your words.
I know you. So Biloxi, Mississippi. They changing the name of Martin Luther King Day.
What they changing it to?
I forgot what it was,
okay.
But they changing the name.
Okay.
They changing it. They taking away from Martin Luther King Day.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, let me see.
You going all the way to the close?
Yeah.
Freedom down at the bottom. That's where you're going to go? That's the close.
Hold on. Let me make sure.
That's the close.
When we allow freedom.
Okay.
Boy, that did sound kind of good. Look, he excited. Hey. He excited.
Hey.
He excited.
Hey, that did. Go ahead. Go
let
on.
Freedom ring from the heightening of something to survey.
Now, you can't do the speech. What's the word? What the hell? The Alleghenies, man.
Oh,
come
oh,
on.
Oh, here we go.
Hold on. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord. Help us.
Oh, my God.
Help us.
Let freedom ring
uh-huh.
from the mountain, mighty mountains of New York.
Uh-huh.
Let freedom ring from the heightening of the Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the hey, I'm sorry. This morning. Oh, man, you're making my groin hurt, man.
I'm done.
Hey, I y'all
come
quit.
On, man.
No,
don't
man.
You receive the seat, hey, man. No.
Man, my groin hurt. Look like I'm touching myself. Hey, I'm sorry, y'all. Hey, I might do a Facebook Live
oh
later,
my
man.
God. I'm done.
Oh,
I'm
my
done.
God.
I am so done right now.
Oh, my God. Lord have mercy.
I was trying to get it.
Man, this man got under the desk again. Hey, listen, I have trouble with some words, y'all.
I just died all over again. I can't even believe that just happened.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. I'm
oh, okay. All right.
Rehab, PR come.
All right, y'all. Well, we look. I don't know why they can't hear. That's your phone, because everybody else hears on Facebook Live. Monique, that's my auntie. Everybody else can hear, but that's something. Turn your volume up.
Felicia said no house music.
Yeah, we ain't. No, Felicia, we're not playing any house music today.
No, she's saying that what if the Lord, I'm thinking, because I was talking about.
Oh, she said what if this ain't take away.
Yeah.
No.
God ain't going to tell us that take away house music. He ain't, that's my second form of worship.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Well, we were told producer told us to stop on the Dr. King speech.
Okay.
Yeah, she said if you had done it and just went through with it.
You want some of this, old man?
No. If you had just went through with it
right.
and flowed, let me
close. I remember having to say that word, man.
Oh, God. You
don't remember, eight words.
You don't remember having to say the Alleghenies in Pennsylvania?
No, man.
Okay. All right.
No.
All right. She said, please close. Please just close. All right. We done. We're going to stop moving. All right. I didn't get to do my turn, but that's okay.
No.
I'm good.
Can
nope.
it go?
Nope.
Producer, Tanya, please.
Hey, okay,
come
good.
On. Now, come
I'm
on.
Good.
Let me get my lick back.
I'm good.
Can he go? Come on.
Nope.
Tanya,
good.
Can he go? Yeah. She said, yeah. Yeah, here we go. Yeah.
Hold on. I got to get my breath.
Hold
right
on.
Now.
Here we go, y'all.
Let me
hey.
Get. She said, sure, he can pronounce words. I'm done. Let me see if I can get. I'm going to do the one. What speech is this? This is the speech from.
Free at last.
I've been on to the mountaintop speech.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to do the end that I've been to the mountaintop.
Uh-oh.
Speech.
Here we go.
This is the close. He says, what I don't know. What will happen now?
Yes, sir.
We've got some difficult days ahead.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter with me now.
Mm-mm.
Because I've been to the mountaintop.
Yes, sir.
And I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life.
Said Martin.
Longevity has its place.
Yeah.
But I'm not concerned about that now.
Woo!
I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain.
I hear it.
And I've looked over.
Come on, Reverend.
And I've seen
yes, sir.
The promised land.
Oh, my God.
I may not get there with you.
Woo!
But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
Yeah.
I'm happy tonight.
Happy.
I'm not worried about anything.
Mm.
I'm not fearing any man.
Yeah.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Free at last. See that? Free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last.
He's just going to do a remix. Only Cornelius Parks would remix.
Hey, let's give it up for my brother,
I'm
y'all.
Done.
My brother
I'm
did
done.
Good, y'all.
I'm
yeah.
done. Y'all ain't got I'm done. I'm
Man,
done.
Man, listen, here, I'm doing a remix of Dr. Martin Luther King's speech.
Dr.
I almost butchered it.
I caught myself.
I thought you were good move, Tanya. Good move. Good move. I'm good. Let's go home. We're going to pray out. Let's go home. Remember, we're going to pray out. We're going to make sure we pray for the New Birth family down there, Pastor for Eddie Long. Also, prayers out for the King family. Kevin King, he was shot last week, Monday, had his surgery all the way to rehab, up talking. He's able to talk, responding to everything. Look at God. Want to pray for him. We want to continue to pray for the Swanson family. I went to that funeral yesterday for one of the brothers we bowled with.
Wow.
Was shot, killed. Something he had nothing to do with, sitting in the car in front of his grandmother's house.
Wow.
Want to send a shout out to that family. So we want to definitely keep all those families in bereavement. And also to our producer, Latanya Melzer's family. She buried her grandmother on Saturday.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Doc.
Father in heaven, we thank you, God. We honor you, God. God, our petition for you today, God, is to provide strength. But all the bereaved family across this country, God. God, we even say a special blessing for the special blessing for the New Birth family in Atlanta, Georgia, God. We ask that you touch the family, God. Ask that you cover them right now, God.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of all the negative words that have been spoken, God, your word have declared, no weapon that hath formed against us shall prosper. Every negative tongue that rise up against us in judgment shall be condemned. And so, God, we speak right now healing over their hearts. We speak healing over their minds. Even in the city of Chicago, the King family, the Swanson family, God, we ask that you cover them, God. The Bird family, God, we ask that you cover them, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. God, we pray once again contingently for all those who are touching and agreeing with this fast, God. We pray, God, even as temptation begins to come, that they have enough strength to overcome it, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Look, y'all, it's been an awesome, awesome day. Do something good today. Have some fun. Do something that you haven't done in a while. Y'all got these off days. It's cold here in Chicago. It's cold, rain, sleet, snow. I don't know what's going on out there. I'm hearing all kind of stuff hitting up against the window.
Yeah.
So, but y'all stay blessed, man. Stay safe. We'll be here back on Wednesday. Wednesday, I think the good Cardinal will be here. So y'all pray for me on that show on Wednesday.
Did you see
his Cowboys
live
eulogy for the Cowboys?
Yes,
yeah, yes, I did.
That man did a eulogy for Dallas Cowboys.
So y'all stay blessed, man. We out. Until then, y'all stay blessed. Keep your head on the swivel. Peace out, y'all.
Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison doors was shaken, and immediately everyone's bands were loose. All we really want you to know tonight is when you find yourself in a midnight hour, and if you haven't, baby, you will, there are two principles that will guarantee your success. Number one, pray. Why? The Bible says that the prayers of the righteous man avail much. When you get up off your knees, if you believe that he is able to do exceeding abundantly, according to all that you ask of him, according to the power that's already working in you, then you lift your hands and give him praise. Why? Because he's well. He's well in the midst of your praise.
Are y'all tired way back there? I thought y'all be going home by now. Y'all. Well, for those of you that come from the nice church that don't get all this loud, allow me to translate what she just said. Late in the midnight hour,
God's gonna turn it around.
It's gonna work.
It's gonna work in your favor.